Few days ago when we were in India and Bangladesh, we came across a person. She said, no, I'm not from here. I'm from Canada. So anyway, we continued. But the way he expressed himself, I wasn't happy. There are certain Islamic lands, like Bangladesh is an Islamic country, Pakistan, Islamic country. But the way the person conducted himself, as though he was proud of being attributed to a Western kafir country rather than a Muslim country. Muslim country, maybe it's backwards, but the fact that it is an Islamic country, then it's got something to be proud about. All right, the rules may not be right. There may be a level of poverty there. But that must not be a reason why we must feel disgusted to be attributed to that country. All the more we need to strive to pick it up. Living, in fact, in a non-Islamic country is a disgrace, actually. Darul Harb. It's a disgrace to be living in a non-Islamic country. Now, we live in a non-Islamic country, so now I'm from South Africa, I'm from here. And then we feel proud of ourselves, then it's disgusting, not a right thing. Yes, it's our weakness that we aren't living in Muslim lands. Sometimes individual weakness, sometimes it's collective weakness. So we left our lands and we're living elsewhere. Our hearts must be still in those Islamic lands. And when things will improve, the lot will improve, inshallah, we'll try our best to be there. One villager had come and taken bayat at the hands of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Amongst the things that he had taken bayat upon was to live in Medina Munawwara. Anyway, he fell ill and he asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to cancel the bayat so that he can leave Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not prepared that his beard be cancelled. But he explained, Al-Madinatu Kalkir Yanfi Khubusaha. Medina Munawwara is like a furnace of a blacksmith. The blacksmith, when he applies that iron ore to the fire, then the rust disappears. The rust is removed. So the same happens to Medina Munawwara, that which is the dust, it is expelled from Medina Munawwara, and that which is pure and clean, that remains in Medina Munawwara. So living in a country, in a place which has got Islamic ethos, really it's a blessing, it's a barakat. And it's a manner of preserving yourself. If you're not doing something, there's someone to check on you, to correct you. And when you're living away from this type of land, everybody is doing his own thing, nobody's really concerned about the general upkeep and the general progress of Islam. There may be a couple of individuals that are concerned, but on a collective level, there may be some problems in Islamic lands. with the at the level of the administration, with the at the level of the public, there may be some problems. But overall, an Islamic land is an Islamic land. Then the heart of Islam is Makkah and Medina Munawwara. These are the heart of Islam. So a Muslim's heart must be there. Qasim Nanutwi rahmatullahi alayhi, his famous poetry. Imagine the love he had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and for Medina Munawwara. He says, my heart pines now that I be buried in Medina Munawwara, that I at least be the fodder for the worms, the ants, the snakes of Medina Munawwara. They can at least eat me up. I can become fodder for them. So what love he had not only for Medina, even the ants of Medina, even the worms of Medina, but he had a love for them, pining for them. Mawlana Yusuf Murtala, Damat Barakatum, says, once we had come up to Sufi Iqbal Sahib. So Sufi Iqbal Sahib was feeding a cat or something in Medina, Munawwara, and he was in tears. And as he saw us, so he just showed a smiling face as though he tried to cover up for the tears and for the crying that he was engaged in. So anyway, he couldn't contain himself. He showed a smiling face and tried to turn the topic off. But when the heart is full, then you can't suppress it too long. You know, it's a pot that is spilling over. You can't suppress it too long. Then you'll have to allow it to give off the steam. So then he says, when he couldn't contain himself any longer, he says that I long that when I die, then there is some good butcherman, you know. Then that butcherman can cut me up into small, small, fine, nice, good pieces. And then the cats and the dogs of Medina Munawwara can eat me up. So imagine the love that they had. The love. Everything in Medina is worthy of respect, worthy of love, worthy of affection. That our body can be sacrificed at least to the things, to the people, to the animals, to the creatures, to the worms, to the germs, to the insects of Medina Munawwara. See, that is how our hearts should be. Therefore, Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say that even if we didn't have a pleasant experience, they don't speak about it in Medina Munawwara. Some don't even speak about it. It's like your own child. If he did something that was not pleasant, then you're not going to make a story about it. Don't talk about it. Just keep it. It's hamare ghar ki baat hai. It's now within our home. We're not supposed to be exposing it. Right? Overall, even spending on the people of Medina, you want to buy something, you bought a scarf, or you bought a kurta, or you bought an itar from Medina Munawwara, even though you didn't require it so much, but you bought it with the niyat, inshallah, I'll support the people of Medina Munawwara. That's in itself is sadaqah. That in itself is sadaqah. You bought it, obviously not fashionable things, no? You won't buy fashionable shoes or fashionable shirts and designer clothing, you know, that's not, that shouldn't be the way. Because this is America expressing itself here. But anything that is of need, like a vest or a socks, or something that doesn't got nothing to do with design and fashion, provided it's got nothing to do with design and fashion, it's a need. You don't even need it, but you bought it, you used it, or you gave it to your friend, or some poor person, or some person in Medina, also you have given it to them, with an intention, mashallah, I'll support the people of Medina Munawwara. So they are living here, they'll be able to continue living here, and since they are the residents of Medina, they will visit the Medina Munawwara, they will visit the Masjid of Masjid Nabawi, and they will keep the Masjid Abad. Now, I'm not going to support, and everybody doesn't support, what will happen? It will press these people here, they want to go away. هم الذين يقولون لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا. This was the statement that was made by the Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا. It's a lengthy incident where Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he found a chance to instigate. There was a small scuffle, altercation that took place between an Ansari and a Muhajir. And then Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul says, "Ya, you see, you people, you causing it. You feeding these people, you spending your money on them, and now these people are eating you up. You feeding them sam min kalbak ta'akulk." How they say in Arabic? Sam min kalbak ta'akulk. That fatten your dog and let him eat you. So it's a derogatory statement, very, very derogatory statement. So now you feeding them, now tomorrow you made them stand on your heads, you put them on your heads, now you want them to eat you up. So what you need to do is, don't spend on these people. When you won't spend on these people of Medina Munawara, then what will happen? These people will be forced, they'll be under constraints, they will leave Medina Munawara. So when they leave Medina Munawara, na'uzu billah, Rasulullah will lose his following. So it's because of you that all this is happening. He's got this following because you are spending. You have opened your homes. You have opened your properties. You have opened your farms. You have opened everything to them. So now they are sitting on your heads. They are treating you like this. So the right thing now, when you come to Medina Munawara from this journey, you return to Medina, you make it a point, don't spend on them. So this was the approach of the munafiqeen. Now our approach must be different. We don't look at that mistake and that whatever else. We think now it's ye sab ghar ki baat hai, all our brothers here, and our brothers are doing this maybe in some need or whatever else. So they did something. So we don't have to look at all that. Maybe it was a mistake, maybe they forgot, maybe it was something that they didn't remember, whatever else. Cover it up for them, and your niyat is right. Your niyat is Nahnu Jirani Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are the neighbors of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people are saying we are the neighbors of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the neighbor has a right, doesn't the neighbor have a right? So they have got a right. So when they are the neighbors of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will look at them correctly. We will look at them with respect, with love, with compassion, no matter what they did afterwards. That's between them and Allah Ta'ala. Here, even that cat of Medina, the dog of Medina Munawara, one person took a liking for one of the cats in Mecca, in Medina Munawara, and he took it home. So that thing was miserable. It wasn't just coming up. Eventually he saw that cat was complaining to Rasulullah SAW, this person has taken me away from Medina Munawara. So that thing also can perceive, I'm in this neighborhood, I don't want to leave this neighborhood. That thing also caught that sense. Like how we like to be there, even an animal likes to be there. And like we don't want to get out of those lands, then that thing also doesn't want to go out of those lands. So this love must be created, you see. Azaji rahmatullahi to the end, towards the ending of his life, he should say, "Bas main to mohabbat ka pyaasa hoon. What I'm thirsty of is love." But people don't show that love. They need to enhance the love of Allah Ta'ala. There are ways to enhance the love of Allah Ta'ala, like I was showing you this afternoon. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, one simple, effective way of enhancing the love of Allah Ta'ala in your heart is you'll have challenges in your life. Right? You'll have challenges in your life. And in the face of those challenges, what do you prefer? You see, when you say you love something, then the beloved has got the right to test you out. Is your love true, or is your love just lip service? So he's going to try you with a whole host of things. He'll throw some bait towards you and see, gee, are you still interested in me, or you're going towards that bait? You're going towards something else. So we'll check you out. Okay? Same with Allah Ta'ala. When you say you love Allah Ta'ala, then He will test you out. Alright, you say you love me, so I will throw some things towards you, and I will see what happens to you. Now, in the material that is thrown before us, there are two types. One is completely impermissible. Like how you got married to a woman. So, when you married her, then she cannot tolerate you spending time with other women. Anything haram, she won't be able to tolerate. And you can't tolerate her spending time with other strange men. So one is to quote completely taboo, completely impermissible. So exactly with the love of Allah Ta'ala, then when you're in love with Allah Ta'ala, then certain things will be totally impermissible. The things that are impermissible, you will not even look at. Like the wife is admiring some other men, will you accept that? You don't accept that. So the same Allah will not accept this. That when you're in love with Him, then you can't say, I love this one also, and I want to look at this, and I want to admire this as well. Then you can't say that. So the one thing will be totally non-negotiable. You can't negotiate it. If you're in love with me, then you have to cut off all your ties with all other men. You'll tell your wife. Otherwise, you go up with them and then don't talk about me. But you're loving me and you're loving other men, then this is not something that we can negotiate. It's not negotiable. So that is one type of love. And the other type of love is negotiable, but to a certain limit. Like, you have got married, right, to your wife, and she's got some of her own relatives, all women, and she talks to them. So you say, all right, you can have some communication with them. No, I have also look at some paper, whatever. So the husband says, no, I look some paper, some program, all right. You can look at the program, you can look at the whatever else, but within the limit, not beyond the limit. If you're looking at the paper beyond the limit, now it's time that you're supposed to be seeing me, and you're looking at the paper, then it's not negotiable. It's after Isha. After Isha, I want to have time with you. And now she says, no, I need to see the paper. I need to be with my friend over the phone. So though I've allowed you, but I've allowed you that within a certain framework. If you do it within that framework, it's all right. Do it in your own time, before Isha, till Isha you did it, I don't mind. But now after Isha, when I need you, then you are engaged with your friend, then it's not on. So similarly, the love of Allah Ta'ala got certain times. In those times, then you don't see anybody but Allah Ta'ala. Namaz now, it's Allah Ta'ala's time. Then you don't see anybody besides Allah Ta'ala. You're negotiating others in Allah Pak's time, you're talking to other people in Allah Pak's time, then no, it's not negotiable. Now you're coming to the masjid and you're worried about your cell phone. So it was Allah Ta'ala's time and you're worried about cell phone here. So now, is that true? Are you true in your love? Like you are busy with your wife and she's busy with the cell phone someone else. You don't appreciate that. That is a time that you have dedicated to me. It's supposed to be for me. I can't accept you doing this. I was just reading an article of Abu Sugan al-Din and understand their mizaj, understand the temperament. One of Hazrat Mu'tamir's murids is asking that we have come to a certain place, Gorakhpur or whatever else, and there is some masjids, very beautiful architecture. Can't be just, the train is going to be here for 3-4 hours, and it's just a matter of 15 minutes, we're going to go and see that masjid, 1 hour or something, and we'll come back. So can we take our wives, see that architecture, admire it, and come back? So Mawlana says, hargiz nahi, never. He says, you see, he gave two examples, going to admire a masjid or whatever the structure, And then he gave an example of Taj Mahal. Right? Taj Mahal. Now, you are taking your wife to all these places here. Unki tabiyat mein tune azadi paida kar di. You created a level of freedom within the mind, within the heart of your wife. Whereas she is not supposed to be like this. You see, now I'm showing you how this Bhusugana didn't think. I'm not telling you that straight away now you must try everything, but I'm showing you how they think. How they think and how they reason. Yeah. Today they're going to be looking at Taj Mahal, going to this masjid here at this site. Right? Tomorrow they'll ask for more, and then they'll be totally free. Whereas that woman, that Muslim woman, is supposed to be in the confines of a home. She's the queen in the confines of a home. She can't be now gallivanting the bazaars and streets and malls and halls and whatever else. Then she isn't an example of a righteous Muslim woman. She's an example of that. She's running around everywhere. Then she isn't an example of that. The Quran Sharif wants them to be not even knowing of what's going on in the world. إِنَّ الَّذِينِ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ. They don't even know what's going on in the world. So, to take them to these places here, you're creating that freedom in their mind. When you're creating that freedom in their mind, then that's the stepping stone to illicit relationship. But now you've started off, you going on that end, then they'll go to the second step and the third step, and eventually when they go into that wrong illicit relationship, then you can't reverse the thing. I remember my childhood, and there was so much of discipline and dignity in this woman, whereas they didn't have so much of knowledge. We were living in Reunion, and my granny was living in Randall's Road. But if one of the daughter-in-laws that were living with us at the time, if they had to go somewhere, then they will phone up and they'll ask their mother-in-law that we need to go here. Should we go? Can we go? Is it the right thing for us to go or not? I thought of it for a long time, but what was this in aid of? They are living here and they're phoning up right to Randall's Road that we need to go here. And it wasn't a requirement of my granny, my nanny, that they must ask her. But the dignity, the self-dignity was so much, the self-respect was so much, that we won't make a move without asking her. So overall, now they feel that they whatever they are doing, their moves are under the supervision and the authority of the elders. So they feel a sense of protection. They feel they are still in parda because they're not doing things of their own. But they just moved, they just came, they didn't consult the elder, then this is not how a Muslim woman is required to behave and how to she must conduct herself. So this mizaj and this temperament only comes when we understand this Bhusugana Deen. Live with them, stay with them, talk to them, personal issues, general issues, you go and ask them. One Jamaat was here just now of Ulama-i-Kiram. So they were explaining that they had come to the Markaz and they had met Maulana Ibrahim Devla, Tamad Barakatum. He's now about the most senior, more important decisions than he's referred to normally. So one of the Ulama that were there, so he's giving a rundown of his masturat and all that. Alhamdulillah, my masturat now, they are ready for any demand. Any takaza comes and they are prepared to go out. 3 days, 40 days, and they are prepared to go out. So Mawlana Ibrahim Devla, Damat Ibrahim, says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He thought it was a great achievement. Now, look at now their thinking. See how their thinking is. That's what I say. We don't stay with them. We don't live with them. We won't understand what line they're taking us. He says, ہماری پوری کوشش یہ ہے کہ وہ گھر میں رہنے والی بن جائے باہر پھرنے والی نہ بنے. The whole effort is they must come and live in the home, not to go and run out everywhere. Now, these women and these Mawlana's thought, that to run out everywhere, that was an achievement. But really for them to live within the home, that was an achievement. And it was in our home. Really, I'm just telling of an incident of our family. At a time that there wasn't much knowledge. But this was not just confined to our family. I think in a lot of families, this was the same thing around the 60s. That there's an old granny or old nani, dadi. They will consult, they will find out. Should we do this? Is this the right thing? Is it the appropriate thing? And when they have taken the blessings and the du'as of the elders, then they will venture out of their homes. Now what stops them? No, I can do it. I can drive. I know where the mall is. I can do my thing myself. What stops her? Just take the key, go and drop the children 10 miles away, come again. See? So all these things, they add to this. They start off. This illicit, wrong, and immoral behavior starts off at this point. But when they are kept like this, their respect is in place. Their health is right. Their understanding is better. Overall, it is their sacrifice, but the quality of children that come out of this woman is even better. Because the woman is confined to the house, and her main concern is my child. What's he doing? Where is he going? Is he coming on time? Is he leaving on time? Is his education monitored correctly? So the whole fikr is centered around the child. So you're getting a better product of the child. Right? It's again, look at the example of a hen and the egg. Right? So for the first 3-4 weeks of its hatching, of its laying the egg, it has to remain. Then it has to forget everything else. The best and the most beautiful, attractive looking rooster can be luring her, but she will totally ignore him. He can throw everything. The rooster can throw money, everything, maize, makki, everything. So nothing doing now. No? Nothing is attracting her. Nothing. She's so concerned over her eggs. Right? The most wealthiest rooster and the best posh, most beautiful looking, right? Loudest kukri kukri can make. But at that time, she's not interested. And then her care on a concern of a child doesn't end there at that point. Then, after that, I was watching, approximately 2.5 months, her figure is only that chicken of hers. She's hatched those eggs. Her figure is just on her young. Now those, her figure is so much, it's consumed that hen so much, until the young can fend for themselves. They're strong enough, they fend for themselves, they can carry on their own things. They can conduct their own affairs. Until that point, she sacrificed everything. All pleasure, all leisure, everything she sacrificed. Smallest danger, she's alarming them. Comfort, she's not worried about. Her personal lust and feelings, she's not concerned about. Everything is centered around her child, her children. Now, after a period of 2.5 months or 3 months, now when they're strong and sturdy and they can move, now she moves on. Right? But do you see the concern that she's got over her children? Now, can't the human being think like this? That until my children are strong, sturdy, I need to make fikr for them. I'm going to make fikr over them. Then who's going to make fikr? Then I'm throwing my children away to any shaitan. Any shaitan is going to come and pick him up. And the shaitans, like I explained this morning, is within man today. It's no more only the jinnat, it's the man that is causing even a greater problem. His phones, computers, whatever else. See? And then our children are becoming victims to it. Three or four weeks ago, there was a case. Girl and a boy, 12, 11 years of age, right? And they kicked up a relationship over the phone. However they did, computer, phone, whatever else. Now, forget the relationship and forget the nature of the relationship, but what was most hurtful, I'm thinking of this child, this boy and this girl, they are All right, the girl may be different, but the boy is in the prime of his studies. In the prime of his studies, 12 years of age. Right. Now, they'll only allow him to get married when he's about 20, 21. But if his mind is stuck up in this girl, tell me, will he be able to do justice towards his studies? His studies is ruined. His studies is definitely ruined because his mind is taken up. He's in his kitab, but he's looking at that girl. In that kitab of his, he's seeing the girl. In anything that he's doing now, he's consumed by the thought of that girl, so he can't think freely. He can't think and he can't concentrate in his work. I remember when we were in Deoband, so my ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with nur, he was not for students getting engaged whilst they are studying. Now there was an in thing in our family that after you're 17, 18, you must get engaged. They would say, Moko hachwi lewano. Moko hachwi lewano. Understand? Asghar? Moko. Moko means it's opportunity. Must look after the opportunity. Don't let it go. So, they should say, Moko hachwi lewano. Now, my ustad was not for that. He said, hey, you want to get yourself stuck into that, you can't concentrate. Hazrat Muhammad says about the same thing. He says the same thing. One alim was there by him doing his islah. So he received a letter. Father or mother is writing. Okay, it's an opportunity. Don't let it go. For that thing to come back, it'll be a long time. You won't get this opportunity again. So Mora says, I don't know why this woman are thinking like this. Men and women are thinking like this. The opportunity and whatever else. Then he went on to say, look at the Sahaba Kiram. And they went on to distant lands. Right? And then they settled in those lands for the sake of tabligh and propagation of Islam. Sahaba, as well as the Tabi'in. And then any woman came in front of them, they got married to them. Black, white, yellow, blue, whatever else. Slave, not slave, they got married and can't continue. It was just a need, so they fulfilled the need. Now they say, hey, Moko Hajwila Wanu, look at this opportunity, whatever. They didn't take this so serious. That was the Sahaba Kiram. That's how we got Deen. Right? So, what I'm getting at is that my ustad used to say this. So, there was one boy that was sharing the room with me in Deoband. So, anyway, he wrote a letter, he showed me his letter that mother has got him engaged and all that. So, I told him now, you know, my ustad told me this much, but I want to know why he said this. Now that you engage, you must be feeling better, isn't it? As we are still young now, playing with each other. And my ustad told me not to get into this. And you are engaged, don't you feel more settled and relaxed? So he's telling me, I am curious now, I'm speaking to him in this way, but I want to get the fact out of him. So you talk to him in a different way to get the fact out of him. So he said, Ma, forget that now. Don't talk about that. He said, that's the last thing you must talk about. So why? He says, after sir, normally, Deoband, you are free, like how you're free here. So you're taking a walk. He goes, oh, but we'll sit by Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi or Qari Sahib Rahmatullahi. If both are not, they will take a walk. So he says, sometimes I'm taking a walk on one end, and I can actually see the girl coming from the opposite end. Now when you're 19, 20, 21, that's what happens to you. The time you're in a different alam, in a different land you are. You're not in planet Earth, you're living some other planet. Then after 35, 40, then you come back to planet Earth. But before that, then you're floating around somewhere else. So it's such a dangerous thing for a child, you know, that he's exposed to these things. And then we don't realize that we are ruining the study of the child. His growth is... One is his studies is ruined, right? His studies is ruined because his mind is consumed. And I tell you, his health is also ruined. You see, when you ask for the love of Allah Ta'ala, then there is a dua that comes. What's that wording? مِنْ غَيْرِ ضَرَّاءَ مُدْزِرَّ وَلَا فِتْنَةٍ مُدِلَّ. Anybody remembers the word before that? ash-shawqa ila liqa'ik min ghayri dharra'a mudirra wala fitnatin mudilla. Allah Ta'ala, I ask you the yearning to meet you, but min ghayri dharra'a mudirra, without any harm coming my way. Right. So I looked at the explanation. What is meant? That yearning to meet Allah Ta'ala without any harm coming my way. So I see the explanation that when that yearning is too great, when the yearning is too much, then a person can't eat properly. He can't sleep properly. He's sleeping. The moment he puts the blanket over his head, he's seeing her. Right? He needs to eat properly and grow up, become strong. Right? He can't eat properly because his mind is consumed in her. See, so he can't grow properly. Now, this was the love of Allah Ta'ala, but it's a little bit more. It's hurt him physically. It's gone so much over the board that it hurt him. So you take the love, even if it is the love of Allah Ta'ala, but take it with afiyat, that you can manage it. But it goes overboard, then you can't concentrate. See that? It'll bring physical harm to you. So therefore, min ghayri dharra mudirra. Min ghayri dharra mudirra. So the love of Allah Ta'ala, like that, in every respect it is good. But then you need to see that it grows with your strength and your stamina, so that you're not physically you're not laid back in any way. So this is the love of Allah Ta'ala. Then the love of the anything else besides Allah Ta'ala, that's harmful, complete harmful. Just till the level of below moderation is helpful, but beyond that is definitely harmful. So can you imagine now these young children? I was saying an 11-year-old child, one case, 2 months ago, 8-year-old child, and the child was abused. So I had to go and see the case. The case started off on my phone. 8-year-old child. But the child was also an accomplice to the wrong. It wasn't that the child wasn't an accomplice to the wrong. Although the father was very upset and all that, whatever else. But then I studied the case. The child was an accomplice. Then I asked the father, who gave the phone to the child? He said, I gave the phone. Nice, expensive phone. And then they started communicating. But now the father says, no, but this person wrecked my child's life. But you didn't see that who put that phone into the child's hand. See? So what we're talking of, this type of a love triangle. This love triangle and how dangerous it is for these young children. So the love should be monitored and the children should be monitored. We're talking about women, you know. And if they are monitored, like I told you, a hen, right? It is natural in that hen to look after its young. So you see such a beautiful, fine product coming out that it can fend for itself, it can do things for itself, it can defend itself, it can move around. It's strong and sturdy. Now you keep that one free range against rainbow chicken. Does it have the stamina? Does it have the determination? Does it have that willpower? Does it have any system in it? No system, only knows how to eat. One way it can keep on eating and fattening itself. But does it have any system, willpower? No, nothing. So therefore, that child of ours we are bringing like this, incorrectly, the thing can become a victim of depression, become a victim of despondency. And this thing I went, the mother taught it right through. So it won't become depressed, no despondency. It can take things in its stride. It can handle things. 5-6 things come before it. It can take it all. You know, in one stroke, it can take it all. So these are the ways of our Buzurgan ad-Din. Without living with this Buzurgan ad-Din, you can't understand the temperament. You can't understand their ways. You can't understand what their thinking is like. And they got their thinking from their elders. And their elders got it from their elders, and so forth and so on, till the Sahaba Kiram. We are talking still mildly, very mildly. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, don't even teach your girls writing. Forget the rest. We are talking of, you know, not to take them to museums and all these other places. He says, don't even teach them writing. And then he says further, don't even let them live in balconies, in other words, in higher mansions. Let them live in the ground floors, not in the higher mansions. Look in Surah An-Nur, where Umar radiallahu's quotation is quoted there. What he's talking about, girls. So why are they talking about it? Control, respect. And he knows once it goes, one thing is lost, and the second thing, and the third thing, and the person is finished afterwards. Then you have to keep maintaining it. For the one slip, then add one break. Another slip, add another break. Keep on putting breaks. How much breaks you can apply? So why we went off is because we left the natural way. The Islamic way, the Dini way, the natural way we left. And we put up a way that was not natural, against nature. So because of that, so many breakers we need to put on the child's life. Put this breaker here, put this breaker there, put this breaker. And then the worst off is that the child is only going to get married when he or she is about 20. So if they fall into this now, how many years they must carry on like this? How many years? How many years they must carry on like this? So we don't realize it, that we putting them into a greater difficulty. Now if you kept them close, so the mind is not wandering around anywhere. So they feel free in the house. They're jumping, running, doing everything. They're eating well, they're healthy, they're strong. So you haven't complicated and compounded their problem. Right? You haven't complicated and compounded the problem. And this woman thereafter, then they go and share all the secrets with their husbands. You ask me, I'll tell you how many men come and complain that my wife said this, uncle and this Fuaji and Masaji and whatever else, and he did this and he did this and he did this. The girls, when they married, they'll go and share every secret with their husbands. The husband come and talk to us afterwards. But we start off, at this point. We gave them that freedom. Go and stay, go holiday here. Then you bring about freedom in them. When you brought about freedom, all then there's abuse. When there's abuse, then they can't share that with anybody. They can't share with anybody. One person got 2 children. And after he got the second child, then his wife is telling him that this is how one family doctor, how he abused. So when he abused you, when I was about nine, then why didn't you complain to your mother? And I complained to my mother. Then why your mother didn't put a stop? Say, no, my mother is too afraid because he sees us very well, the doctor, he treats us and all that. So he allowed it, she allowed it. So from 9 till about 15, 16, this chap was kept abusing the wife. And mother was silent about the whole thing. Now that she's married, 18, 19, now the wife is, now she's a wife. Now she comes and tells the husband, or the husband comes and shares it with us. But you see where this thing start off, this freedom. Hazrat Ji Ramtesh used to say that people like to have children and all that. Like in pure, in bachche ki sahi nigrani karna, tarbiyat karni to aati nahi. They don't want to make men out of men. They don't want to make women out of women, and they want to become parents. See? First learn to become a man, learn to make the right type of tarbiyat, and then get into this thing here. Now you don't know how to run this thing here, and then you want to run it. And if anybody corrects you, then you want to come to their defense. Every parent feels, no, my child is an idol. My child is a queen. They'll never do this, and never do this, and never do this. And the day that she did it then, and they can't talk about it. They'll never talk about it. Listen to me. They'll never share these things with their parents. But they will definitely share it with their husbands. 9 out of 10 times, they will share it with the husbands. The husband will say, hey, I got a thing that was used. Second hand. I haven't got a brand new thing. Like, he has to live with that type of memory. So, but where it started off from? Why don't we see where it started off from? Allah Pak Tawfiq Naseeb Kare, tell you all these things because of overload of information. True, sometimes overload of information is not good, but I get the thing. All this information comes, one quarter, second quarter, third quarter, whatever. Everybody comes and talks about it. It's an overload. Sometimes you get uncles doing it, abusing. Sometimes you get brothers abusing, sisters. And the brothers, they come and tell you themselves, we abuse our sisters. So I had to write a letter to one person, said, please, for God's sake, all my answers you are preserving, this letter you destroy it. This letter you destroy it. So he said, why must I destroy it? I said, hey, don't be stupid now. You're going to preserve this letter. If you die tomorrow, they see this in your file, that you abused your sister, Mufsab saying, no, do this. What's going to happen to you? Can't think. You make your Islam, but destroy the letter and throw it away. See how shallow people's thinking is. How shallow the thinking is. So that's why I say that this is not a small thing. We think it's a small thing. No, it's not happening in my house. Not happening. Everybody feels the same about his daughter. He's a princess, he's a queen, everything. They'll never do it. They'll never let my name go, you know. They'll never do it. But you come and ask, I'll tell you. I can't, it's all in confidence. I can't tell you the names, but this is happening. It's happening, definitely it's happening. So if we know what's good for us, then listen to these elderly people. As Umar is saying the same thing, our Mashaikh is saying the same thing, Zughanuddin are saying the same thing. They are saying what is good for you. They won't tell you like I'm telling you. We are talking informally, see, so we're telling everything. What we're not supposed to be saying, what are we discussing here? Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb.